Welcome to the Ideal Business, Ideal Lifestyle audio series. This series is about marketing and business mastery for floor dealers and giving them the tools to make more money, work less, and build their business around their life. I'm Jim Armstrong, the coach and founder of Jim Armstrong Marketing Systems and the Inner Circle Club. Today's topic is strategies to position yourself as a trusted advisor. And I'm happy to have on the call not one, but two experts in the area of strategic positioning. First, we have with us from Phoenix, Arizona, one of my coaching team members, Tracy Tollison. Tracy is a direct response marketing expert and founder of the Nationwide Pinnacle Club, which is a coaching and mentoring program to help realtors skyrocket their success. And he's also a member, he's also my personal coach and mentor. Now, Tracy, most of the listeners are already familiar with you and who you are, but why don't you give them a little background for those who don't know you yet?
Sure, Jim, I'll be glad to. I've been selling for commission, if you will, and self-employed since I dropped out of high school in 11th grade. So I've sold everything from vacuum cleaners, some pots and pans, door peepers, door, you know, installs, to $5,500 self-improvement courses, to presently I coach to the mortgage industry and to the real estate industry, how to put direct response marketing and build their business in their chosen field.
Okay. Thank you, Tracy. And second, we have with us from Madison, Wisconsin, Chris Mongi. Chris is one of the nation's leading authorities on debt restructure, equity repositioning, and debt elimination. He's been a mortgage advisor and debt elimination expert in Madison, Wisconsin since 1996. He was introduced to Dan Kennedy-style marketing techniques in the fall of 2005 and when he joined Tracy's Pinnacle Club for Realtors as a chapter operator. And Chris took his club membership to over 100 realtor members in less than 12 months using direct response marketing techniques that he learned through Dan Kennedy-style and marketing. Chris is unique in that he's taken the teachings from Dan Kennedy and many other direct marketing gurus and applied them to his own business to create his groundbreaking new debt eliminatrix system in late 2006, where he shows his clients how to become totally debt-free in an average of 9.3 years, including paying off their mortgage, all while paying the same payments they're currently paying. And his business looks entirely different than it did in the fall of 2005. He's positioned as the expert and no longer competes on rates or closing costs, all because his clients view him as a trusted advisor and not just another, quote, mortgage guy. Chris attributes this to his outside-the-box marketing and operating in a niche where little competition exists. And his specialty is in two areas now, working with realtors and his debt elimination program. And he no longer tries to sell things to all people, and his specialties help him charge premium prices to his clients without hesitation. Chris, why don't you give the listeners a little background about yourself and just fill in anything that I've missed.
Sure, Jim. Thanks for having me on the call today. You know, I started out, you know, I took the normal... Went to college, got an associate's degree in real estate. I have a 4-year business degree in business administration and management. And, you know, I've been doing mortgages since 1996, been in my own company since January of 1998, and have fundamentally been unemployable by anybody else since I started my own company. I pretty much was, you know, as a mortgage broker, you're kind of on your own anyway. So I don't really like the corporate world, per se.
Well, go ahead. I thought you were done. Go ahead, Chris.
You know, it's just I did direct marketing without knowing I was doing direct marketing, and then once I met Tracy and learned about Dan Kennedy and learned and studied and absorbed, it's just opened my eyes, and, you know, my world is just so much bigger now, and it's so much fun marketing and doing what I'm doing now because, you know, I'm different and I'm not just another guy, another mortgage guy. So,
well, that's what you said, a key thing there, and that's making it fun. Marketing or advertising is, for most businesses, is a necessary evil, and we teach, you know, I teach my clients, and I know you guys embrace this, having fun with it. It can be a total blast, especially when you're doing things that nobody else is, thinking outside the box. And I know the listeners, what I was going to say a minute ago was, can relate to, not being wanting to be part of the corporate world. You know, as an entrepreneur, we're kind of renegades, and, we want to captain our own ship, so to speak. I want to make a couple of important points before we get to the interview. And as everyone listening has probably noticed, both my guests bring in expertise from outside the flooring industry. And Dan Kennedy says that if you don't borrow from outside the industry that you're in, you're doomed to copy those within it. And that's exactly what we have in the flooring industry. Everybody looking around at what everyone else is doing and copying them. And it's basically the blind and dumb leading the blind and dumb. And our industry overall is very stagnant as far as being innovative, thinking outside the box, breaking the mold. And this is very bad news for your competitors, but it's great news for you because you're being handed tools, systems, strategies, and ways of thinking that very few others in our industry are using, and certainly not the dealer down the street from you. And what you're going to hear today and in the future editions are things you will rarely, if ever, hear at an industry trade show or by reading industry literature or at a convention, which is why I consistently bring my members experts not only from the flooring industry but other industries as well and teach you how to incorporate and use ideas that would never even occur to the other dealers in your market area, and you'll crush the competition. So, in today's interview and in future interviews, please don't shut your mind off to ideas just because they come from outside our industry. In fact, listen even more carefully. Keep your mind open for new innovative ideas and how you can apply them in our niche. And everyone on the call today is going to do that and help you apply the concepts that are being used successfully in many different business categories. All right, guys, what I want to do today is have you give us your thoughts on positioning ourselves as trusted advisors, how you apply positioning in your particular business, and then bring it around full circle and give concrete strategies for applying it in the flooring industry. Chris, let's start with you. What is your definition of positioning, and why is positioning so important?
Well, back what I said before is, if I'm just another mortgage guy that everybody's, my rate's the same as everybody else's rate, I'm competing on just that. I'm not positioned as somebody that they have to go to. And I'm going to lose a loan if I do a loan for somebody for an eighth of a point or $200 in closing costs. And I competed on that level forever until I figured out that if I position myself as somebody that is different, has what they want, and nobody else does the way I do it, I'm actually the expert that they're looking for. So I'm, like Dan Kennedy always says, you want to try to sell in a vacuum so that you're sucking everybody to you. There's no price resistance. You're attracting clients to you. And, when you're positioned as that expert, trusted advisor, you're not a commodity anymore. And that's what you're trying to do.
Well, you work with a realtor in your local area by the name of Court Howard, who charges 8% commissions in today's supposedly slow real estate market, and where everyone else feels lucky to get 5 or 6%, he also charges an upfront retainer to take the listing, and that's virtually unheard of. I mean, you've got realtors basically chasing people down, begging them to be their client, and he's charging more and doing a retainer. And he has clients seeking him out and gladly paying his prices regardless of what the other realtors are charging. And you recently did an interview with Court, and it was a great interview. And in discussing how he is able to command the fees and the respect that he gets from his clients, you and Court talked about positioning yourself as a guru at the top of the mountain versus a beggar. Why don't you explain that to the listeners?
Thanks for the compliment. It was a great call, but it's pretty easy because he's a pretty easy interview. It's really funny that, you brought that up, because I had lunch with him yesterday, and he's like kicking himself around trying to figure out what his pricing structure should be, because he offers the regular 6% and does what everybody else does. and then he has his 8%, which he does a lot more than anybody else does. But it's really not that much more, but it's the way that he's positioned himself that he can charge the 8%. Well, now we had a talk yesterday. He wants to have three levels of pricing, and I've pretty much leaned on him and said, you don't even have a 6%, you're a 7%, an 8%, and a 10% with a retainer fee, and they get certain amounts of things with each level. And, you know, he's looking at me and he's like, yeah, I can do that, because he's engineered his process the way that it should be to position him as the guy that they want to work with. Now, is he better than any other realtor around? Maybe, maybe not. Does he market better? Yeah. He markets in a way that he positions himself, and, you know, just it depends on how you do it. If you just send out, you know, I'm a realtor, well, you're a commodity. If you send out a thing, or if you advertise, or somehow whatever the person gets that says, I'll sell your home in 39 days or less guaranteed, well, now you're positioning yourself as somebody that can get it done faster than anybody else can, and you guarantee your results. So it's stuff like that is what he does, and he's engineered his whole process, which I call the shock and awe book, and it's just a sales process. He closes 9 out of 10 clients that get his materials for a listing presentation, and it's actually 100%, but he turns down business to do it.
Now, that's an important point. I'm going to interject here. He gets 80%, and he only gets 80% because he's turning down the other 20%. They're not turning him down. He's turning them down.
Correct.
Okay.
And how many other realtors are turning business down right now?
Right.
Not very many, but if they won't conform to the way that he wants them to work or the way he works, because he's the expert, he's positioned as the guy, and his results back him up. You know, it's not like he's just saying, I'm the expert, but he doesn't have any results. He's actually created this awesome presentation, and his results back up what he does, and he uses the same techniques that we use, that I use, Tracy uses, all the direct marketing techniques to position himself as the person, and they seek him out. Even though he markets to them, he makes them feel like they're making the forward motion to him to seek him out.
And that relates to, you know, the guru at the top of the mountain. Nobody wants to go see the guru at the bottom of the mountain.
Right.
Well, Jim, real quick interjection here. Chris said a key point. How many realtors are turning down business right now? The question will be how many floor covering dealers are turning people down? And the materials that your floor covering dealers receive are gold mines and gold nuggets of the strategies that they can apply right into their floor covering business.
I totally agree. And, you know, the way that relates to, you know, the guru isn't up there begging for people to come to the top of the mountain.
Right.
Okay, that's the beggar on the street. And, you know, and the only thing the beggar has to offer, he doesn't have anything to offer. He's just asking, please give me. And so the question, as we're going through this interview today, I think the floor dealers need to ask themselves, are I and my salespeople, through our actions, positioning ourselves more as a guru or more as a beggar? What are we communicating to them? So, yeah.
Hey, Jim, I have a really good example of this.
Okay.
And Cord actually sent it to me yesterday after we had lunch. He sent me an email that was sent out by another realtor that is basically begging for listings. It's like, I need your listings. It's just begging and begging and begging. Like, he needs a listing. That's all he knows how to do is to beg for listings.
Okay.
And when I compare that to Court, he and I were laughing about it on the phone, you know, because I'm like, maybe you should market like that. And he's like, nah, I don't think so. Just comparing the way he does it and the way this other person did it, you are correct. Court's on top of the mountain. He's the guy that people are actually stepping towards to get to, and this other guy is at the bottom of the mountain with his hands out going, help, give me, give me, give me.
Exactly.
And he's not getting anything.
And we're going to, and through this call as we go along, we're going to show floor dealers how they can position themselves as the guru versus the beggar, real tools and things. And, yeah, the real estate and mortgage lending industries have become totally commoditized. And, Chris, you mentioned the word commoditized. Why don't you explain what this means and how it affects, you know, your business?
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, you see it on TV all the time, you know, Countrywide, no closing costs, no this, no that, lowest rates, or Ditech, or, you know, I mean, there's a bank on every corner you can go get a mortgage at. Sure, you can go get a mortgage from any of these places, but, you know, if you're shopping, or if I'm a mortgage guy that's just offering lowest rate or lowest closing costs, I'm a commodity, and like I said before, I'm going to lose out on my loan because somebody else beat me by $200 in closing costs. And it happened all the time when I was operating on that level, and I hated that. So same thing with a flooring dealer. If you're offering all the same stuff and just the blasé, you know, here, this is what I got, here's our menu, and they come in and look, you don't give them anything, any reason that you're the expert, you don't, you know, you're a commodity. You're just shopping on price.
Totally. And it's and the reason I wanted you to talk about that, I know the listeners have heard of Ditech and Countrywide and all those commercials, and they can completely relate because the exact same thing has happened in the flooring industry with your big box dealers, Home Depot, Lowe's, online dealers, and they've totally misled the consumer into thinking that price is the number one consideration. And how does, Chris, positioning yourself as a trusted advisor get you out of that commodity rat race?
Well, I mean, if you're the trusted advisor, you know, you're the expert, you're the, you know, the person that can give them more than what anybody else can, you're not competing on price, you're not competing on, you know, product or, you know, any of that stuff. So, you know, when you bring someone in to your store who has a problem and you have a system that's set up where you can solve their problems, nobody else does what, you know, you do, you're, you know, there's no competition. You know, nobody else will do it. You know, and the way I do it is, you know, nobody else does what I do in this town. You know, I have the Pinnacle Club for Realtors. I mean, I'm still a mortgage guy, don't get me wrong. You know, I could still do, like right now I have a client that was referred to me by somebody else who's got an income property, needs to be refinanced, it's on a balloon loan. Not a problem, I'm doing it. I don't advertise that. I advertise Pinnacle Club for Realtors, where I help realtors market, and I get referrals from my realtor members, and I have my debt elimination program. I solve problems nobody else solves. I operate in a niche with no competition. There's no other mortgage guy teaching realtors how to market. And there's no other mortgage guy telling people, showing them with my system of how to be debt-free in an average 9.3 years. Nobody does it. I can charge higher fees. There's no resistance to price. There's nothing. I'm in the niche. I'm it. It's awesome.
Well, you're doing essentially, you're, instead of comparing apples to apples, in other words, a person who comes to you for a quote loan, isn't comparing apples, your rate, with Ditech's rate, apples to apples. Now they're comparing apples and oranges. They're comparing your debt elimination freedom strategy versus everyone else is doing something completely different, and they can't compare the two.
Correct.
Yeah, and that's part of positioning, is thinking in terms of how can I be an apple, the apple, in a barrel full of oranges. Tracy, what are your thoughts on price elasticity and how that relates to positioning?
Well, the first thing that pops in my mind is Walmart versus Neiman Marcus. And since we're talking to retailers on this, you have the same setup in your marketing and in your business, just like Chris is saying and you're saying, you can choose, and we've said it before, you can choose what kind of critter you want to attract, okay? And you can attract, like, Ditech or Home Depot or Lowe's or LendingTree. LendingTree's famous for, you know, when banks compete, you win. Well, that's a big lie. So, mm-hmm. You know, you have to, on the price of doing things, I can guarantee you that most people in this day and age of no customer service, no follow-up, no anything, if you offer it and you back it up, you can do and command exactly the price you want. So your price, you know, most people think of price elasticity and they bring it down. And the question is, why? Why would you, the listener on this, to see a guy down the street saying, today's special is tile for $1.99? Why would you think the only way you've got to compete is all of a sudden sell your tile for $1.99?
Or $1.89.
Or $1.89. You know, I often laugh because I call it the Walmartization of America. And basically, Walmart started it, has been very successful as a business model, and they simply sell by price. But I guarantee you, my wife doesn't shop Walmart anymore. She doesn't care if the toilet paper's 50 cents a pack lower than at the place where she can get service. So the key that usually misses is the service and the package of benefits, the package of you, the floor covering dealer, the mortgage lender, whatever you are marketing, you must set yourself up in that position where the price is not the end all to your success. Otherwise, it'll be your death.
Yeah, if low price is your selling point, you have nowhere to go but down.
Correct. And in positioning, what we're talking about in positioning, there's two ways you can position yourself. It runs through this whole theme and everything you're teaching your floor covering dealers. You can choose to sell by price, or you can choose to sell by uniqueness, service, guarantees, something that nobody else has, something that somebody else may have but isn't even telling the person about it. And see, that's the uniqueness of it that I see the difference between the American consumer. I mean, we've talked about my personal experience with positioning, how I, you know, you end up getting service from one floor covering dealer, and it's no different than another floor covering dealer. You just never know.
Yep.
So those kind of positioning factors that he's talking about, to me, I just believe that once you throw yourself into learning the strategies you're teaching, learning the strategies that Chris is talking about, that I'm talking about, that you teach your dealers, Jim, then you understand what price elasticity really is and how it really is no longer anything you need to be concerned with except for how you raise your prices.
How far can I stretch it upward?
That's right, with
yeah.
No change.
And hey, Jim.
Yeah.
Or Tracy, actually, too. I think it was Dan that said that 15% of the people will buy on price alone, right?
Yeah.
That was 15 or 20%. And my contention is you don't want that 15 or 20% of those people in your store.
Nope.
Because they're going to be the hardest client to work with.
That sparks a couple of thoughts. You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, Chris. The first one is, if everybody was price conscious, everyone would drive a Yugo and eat at McDonald's.
Right.
That's right. There would be no Nemus Marcus.
Nope.
There would be no Cadillacs. There would be no Land Rovers. And, you know, you're right, Jim. So people have to be careful about that is what my total business model is.
You know, there's another thing that happens, too, kind of as a side point. A lot of times people will ask what the price is, and that doesn't mean that they're price conscious. It's because they don't imagine it from the point of view of the average floor consumer. They don't know anything about flooring. They're overwhelmed. It's a daunting task. Sometimes just to get the conversation going, the only thing they know to ask is, well, how much does this cost? Don't be fooled into thinking that that automatically means that they're price shoppers. They just may not know how to start the the process. And I've had that happen in every business I've ever owned, operated, whether in flooring, mortgages, anything I've ever been involved with. And what I learned to do was ignore that question for the most part. Say, you know, that's a really good question, and I'd love to answer that for you. Let me ask you a few things. And then I'd start a conversation, and we'd get away from price, and it wouldn't come up again. They were just looking for a way to start the conversation. So for what that's worth. Now, strong positioning, it gives us the power to charge, you know, the higher prices, obviously, and that's half the equation. And the other thing that I want to talk about, the other half that is equally important, is doing business on our terms. And we've said it before, and we'll say it again, it's not how much money you make, it's how you make the money. And I know in your industry, real estate, lending, realtors and loan officers are taught that they have to sacrifice their lifestyle in order to succeed. Chris, tell us about some of the industry, quote, industry norms that you see in your field.
Okay. Trace, you could probably back me up on this, 99% of the people in our mortgage industry live by the phone. They wear a cell phone 24/7. They work nights and weekends. They're constantly, you know, as soon as that phone rings, before the first ring is even over, they've picked it up and they're, hello, hello, you know, can I help you? And it's just crazy. That's not the way I want to work, and that's the way I've been for years, have not lived by the phone. I work on my own terms. You can do it.
Jim, I think it goes into back what you just said about the positioning and the pricing and everything else. It's the way people, your point was excellent when they ask, what's the price? It's because that's been the way they've been trained. They've been trained by the media and our own industries to believe that is the only thing that matters. But deep in their instincts, deep in their heart, deep in the listener's heart, you know that ain't the way you want it to be. My wife came up with this great statement. Aren't you sick and tired of having to do your own customer service for your own customer service? And it is so true. So now, fast forward to how we're all supposed to do things and live our own ideal lifestyle. How we work with realtors, we teach realtors this exact same principle. And Chris touched on the mortgage guys, I'll touch on the realtors. Realtors believe that if they don't get on that phone right then, the customer is going to move on. Why do they think that? Because they have not positioned themselves to know that that's not the way they're going to train the people that are calling them. The people that are calling them have not been pre-trained on how to even do business with them. Now, this is a radical concept that most business owners miss and spend their entire business careers not even knowing that it is possible to train people to do business with you exactly on your terms without them running off to the next Home Depot, Big Box, whatever's chirping in their ear.
Oh, I totally agree. Dan Kennedy says that the clients are looking for the stern but loving parent. And it is. And you know, it's true. A lot of times I think that the reason the sales and buying process gets, that the client drives that process isn't because the client wants to drive the process necessarily. It's because the business owner lets them. And
absolutely.
So if you take control of that right up front, it will allow you to drive that process. And even the strong-willed clients who truly do, you know, the small percentage that truly do want to try and do everything their way, well, it'll give you the tools and the power to either A, let them know that they are going to do it your way, or B, that perhaps they'd be better off going, you know, somewhere else. And you'll have the guts and the fortitude to be able to tell them that. You know, like the realtor, you know, Court Howard, who we mentioned earlier, who he turns down 20% approximately of his potential clients. Chris, how has positioning yourself as a trusted advisor allowed you to escape, you know, the lifestyle destroying habits and things, and to do business on your terms?
Well, you know, like I said before, I've, you know, kind of lived on my own terms for quite a while now, where I, you know, maybe work a few evenings, you know, taking phone calls or calling people, but I don't work on weekends. You know, I work basically Monday through Thursday, Friday. I might work a couple hours, so working a four-day week. You know, how many other mortgage guys are doing that? I don't know. You know, I know at sometimes I only work Monday through Wednesday, and then Thursday I might work a few hours, and Friday I might work a few hours. You know, I'm not a slave to the phone. I work on my terms, and I mold my clients, customers, realtors to the way that I work. So they're on my terms, not me working on them. And it's funny what you were saying before. Dan Kennedy always says, if you don't have a system for selling, you're going to be subject to the client's system for buying.
Ah, yeah. Yep. Exactly. Hey, Tracy, same question with you. You know, you're an expert at strong positioning. And how has that allowed you to do a way business in a way that's virtually unheard of in the lending industry?
Well, Jim, same pattern. First, it was like, okay, what do I want to do with my business? And that was to set it up that I like to golf and I like to shoot. So a long time ago, 1998-99, I decided that I was going to re-engineer my mortgage practice in order to do that, and Thursdays was my personal day. Now, by positioning myself and doing the kind of marketing that you're teaching your clients here, I knew that even though I was out on Thursday shooting and golfing, I knew that my business was bringing me in new business to work on Friday or the next given time. See, Chris knows up front that he has systems in place that allow him to do this, and he's decided how he wants to do it. You can't convince me that anybody listening to this CD wants to work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And you cannot convince me that most are fearful, if they're not paying attention to their business every single breath like that, that something's going to happen and the wheels are going to come off.
Hey, Tracy, on that Thursday when you're out shooting or playing golf, are you worried about what's going on in the office?
No. No, not at all. You know,
you're not worried that when somebody calls you and wants to talk to you, that they're not going to wait till Friday?
Nope. No, because if that happens to me, I know I have another deal around the corner coming, and I don't want to sound flippant that it's not important, but it goes back to pre-trained. If the referral source, the lead that is generated, that is coming to me, if it's a referral from my realtor, my realtors are taught to tell them that I may not get right back to them, but they need to wait for me. And if they're not doing a good enough job of that up front and they're bouncing all around, then I'm not in control of my business. If I respond, they're driving me. We do. Chris said it with Dan's. If they're not coming to you in the system that is your selling position, then they're coming to you and you're doing business from their buying position. And you cannot operate very long before you get burnout, fatigue, aggravation, everything.
Yep.
I have a pretty good example of this. I just got back from vacation. Today is Tuesday, right? Yeah, so last Thursday, I was back in the office. I was gone for 8 days. Right before I left on a Tuesday night. I had two phone calls from people calling about debt elimination stuff. I said, hey, I'm really busy. I'm leaving. I'm going to be gone. I'll be back in the office. If it's okay, we'll talk when I get back. Sure, not a problem. Talked to both of them. They're both ecstatic to talk to me. I got all their info, working up their programs for them. They waited over a week to talk to me because of the way I positioned myself.
Now, if you positioned yourself like Ditech, yeah, we'll beat their rate. We'll beat their fees.
They'd have been gone.
No, they'd have been gone. Exactly. And we're talking about positioning the floor dealers so that they have that same kind of power where people will literally, if they have to wait a week, they'll do that because they want you, because it's unique, different. Now, there's a perception among store owners, and I know it exists in your, you know, in the real estate mortgage industry, that you have to work with any client who bumbles through your door, even if they don't follow your system. So you constantly have floor dealers re-engineering how they do business to suit every client that comes in. Chris, what are your thoughts on working with all comers?
Well, I used to do it when I was a commodity, and I don't do it anymore. You know, like Dan always says, the person whose customer is everybody has no customers. And, I mean, I heard him say it for a year and a half, and then I finally heard him say it again, you know, basically to niche. And when I niched in, you know, I had my Pinnacle Club realtor stuff, but when I niched in debt elimination, so I specialized and I'm down where nobody else is, I can turn down business that doesn't conform to the way I want to work, and there's more business waiting for me right around the corner. So, you know, I just don't do it.
And that leads into a separate topic, which is deal flow, and that's a deal flow is a product of positioning and good marketing. So you've combined the two. So you got somebody coming along who doesn't fit your mold. Well, all you say is next.
Correct.
So
it's all supply and demand. You got to tip supply in your favor.
There we go. And so that's kind of the other half of the equation. I know you use excellent marketing as well, and I know my clients have powerful marketing tools so they can create that deal flow. But as the deal flow is happening now, you can turn down those who aren't going to work on your terms. Well, so basically you're telling me, in your opinion, business owners should refuse to work with certain clients.
Correct. Yeah, if they're a pain in the butt client, or if they're shopping on price only, and you're positioned as somebody that's not selling on price, you got to have some kind of graceful exit plan, but be like, you know what, I don't think our store is a fit for you, you know.
Yeah, I actually have mentioned making photocopies of online dealers and people out of the yellow pages and being bold about it. And when somebody's absolutely being a stick in the mud and difficult, say, you know, I don't think our store is a good fit for you. We aren't for everybody. Here's some others you might want to check out, and literally hand them your competition, so to speak,
right,
their names and numbers. I've done that before, and it's a really satisfying feeling, and it blows the people away.
It is. It's takeaway selling. You know,
yep.
They're like, wait, what? What? You know. But that's, again, if you have supply and demand in your favor, where everybody's demanding your attention, you can turn them away and not feel one iota of shame or regret or remorse or anything, because there's somebody waiting right behind them.
You'll feel empowered.
Correct.
I mean, if you're going to, you got a client you don't want to work with anyway, fire the client on your terms as well.
Tell
them to essentially take a hike, but, you know, professionally and courteously. You know, we don't think, you know, our services aren't for, I can't tell you how many times I've said this. I know you guys have said it to difficult clients. You know, I don't think that, our service is not for everybody, so I think you would probably be happier going elsewhere. And the satisfaction that comes with that is an intangible, but it's real. So far what we've learned is that strong positioning enables us to be able to do two extremely important things. First of all, is command higher prices, and second, to do business on our own terms. And that ties directly into building your ideal business and ideal lifestyle. So what I want to do now is shift gears and bring it back to the flooring industry and talk about six specific positioning strategies that dealers can implement right away. And I'm going to list them quickly, and then we'll examine them one at a time. First is testimonials. Second is referrals. Third, consumer education. Fourth is powerful guarantees. Fifth is an advisory sales process instead of a selling sales process. And sixth is a trusted advisor mindset. Now, these aren't the only positioning tools. And throughout my members', involvement in the club, we're gonna cover many others besides that. But this is an excellent place to start. So, Chris, let's start with you. Why do you think that testimonials are so important?
Well, by far, your clients can say good things about you that are believable and better than you can about yourself. you know, and people are going to believe what other people write about you versus, you know, if I say I'm the greatest debt elimination guy in the world, it's like, okay, well, people might believe me, they might not. If I have a client that says, oh my God, he totally took us from the bottom of the barrel and we're now on pace to be totally debt free and in, you know, 8.9 years and it's so easy, and well, what's more believable? You know, testimonial.
Exactly.
So that's why you got to do it.
Well, in my system, I show my members how to gather testimonials, and on the back of the referral request form is a space for testimonials, and I recommend using them everywhere, especially during the design audit, which is the sales process, and we're going to cover that in a minute. And I recommend carving out a few minutes where every client has a chance to look either through the confidential case files or a testimonial portfolio or something. Chris, what are your thoughts on where and how clients business owners should use testimonials?
Yeah, I mean, they're great to have. I actually give a hard copy of written testimonials to every single client that I work with, so they get to take them home with them. They can read through them. You know, it's, I don't know, 20 pages front and back. It's, you know, getting pretty thick. It just helps solidify me as the expert, the trusted advisor positions me. Another thing that I use is audio testimonials. So I do a phone call, much like this one, with some clients, and we talk about their mindset beforehand, the whole process, afterwards, all that, because their voice is so much stronger than a written. Then I can send that as a CD to a prospect. I put them on my website so people can listen to them right online as they're inquiring on my website as to what's going on. The other thing that I want to do eventually is to start getting some video testimonials so that I can have them playing on a continuous loop on a DVD or something like that in my office, so when somebody comes in, they just see testimonial after testimonial after testimonial. So a flooring dealer could do the same thing, videotape before and after, you know, get the people's comments, play it on a video, it's sitting right there in the store, you know, talk about powerful.
Incredibly powerful, and I hope all the listeners are taking note of that. I do mention it in the materials. Using video, audio, written, and photos as different ways of gathering testimonials. You know, Chris, they don't have to be fancy, high-dollar productions either.
Oh, no.
In fact, I think, in my opinion, if you make it really slick and professional, it takes away from that the power, the authenticity.
Yep, I would agree 100%.
Yeah, so don't worry about me, you know. You could literally take a video camera, set it up in your client's kitchen, sit down at the kitchen table with them and do a quick interview, and it's fine. Don't worry about it. It just makes it seem more real. Now, second on the list is positioning tools is referrals. Tracy, you're just an absolute expert on creating herds of referral partners. So how does that position you or help in the positioning as a trusted advisor?
Well, I'd like to add one other comment in on testimonials and the referrals. It's really exciting, and in my office is a wall of fame, and it's a big wall. It's 20 by 12, I think, and it's just got nothing but cards and letters that people have sent me, and it's nearly full. It's a very visual impact. So when they come in, their question and their comment 9 times out of 10 right out of the box is, wow, you got a lot of people that like you. And my response is, that's correct, and you are too, and I'm going to expect a card up there. And then I'm going to expect a card for every one of your people and friends you know. You're going to let me know about it so they can see this. And so it goes back to the training. Asking for referrals is, in my job, is telling them up front, I'm going to do that.
Tracy, now I'm going to play devil's advocate with you. I'm sure there's people listening to this who are saying, wow, you tell them up front you're going to expect a testimonial, and you tell them up front you're going to expect referrals. Isn't that a little bit presumptuous, or isn't that going to turn clients off?
It may be presumptuous, but it's exactly what I want. Again, it's about me creating my business the way I want it to be. And so with that expectation up front that this is what I expect from them, in all of the written materials that go out, like Chris, when a client is referred to me or a lead is generated, they get an information pack, just like you're teaching your floor dealers. And in there, it's 20, 25 pages of front and back testimonials. It's my 7 ways I guarantee my work. It's all about you form. It tells them right up front what I want them to tell me. Pardon me. And it goes into setting the expectation that this relationship that we're going to enter into is going to be one that I'm going to want to share with their contacts and connections, and they're going to be so happy with it, they're going to want to share it with them. So, yeah, it may be what you said, presumptuous, but that's what I want them to know.
And I know I don't even have to ask you this, but I'm going to do it anyway, because I do the same thing with my clients, and my response has been very positive. In fact, people get a kick out of it. What's the response when you tell your clients that kind of a bold statement?
They laugh and say, okay.
Yeah.
And then I say, and I ain't kidding either. I reinforce it one more time. Hey, in case your listeners are wondering, that is a northern accent, North Alabama. So I use it to my advantage, and they laugh. When I tell them I'm going to expect their card on my wall and friends and family and acquaintances to know about their experience, they laugh and say, okay, and then I tell them. And I ain't kidding either. Now leads us to the next point. How am I good at getting referrals? After the transaction's done, I go back and say, okay, I'm collecting on what I told you in the beginning. Now, I know you had a great experience, and I know sometimes it's hard for people to put in words. And I listen, and I ask them during the transaction and process for any words that they say that I can say, oh, we're going to put that in your testimonial, or we're going to put that in your referral letter. And or if they call in and they just tell me something, I save it and record it. So I'm always thinking of and figuring ways and capturing ways of getting their their testimonial or and referrals. But the topic we're talking about now is going after referrals and asking for them. It, again, is you're setting the stage and the expectation level that this is how your business operates. And this is why. This is a huge million-dollar idea for your listeners. It would be very easy in a retail store to have a gigantic board of pictures with happy and satisfied clients. Chris and I use it. You know, not so much now because my business model has changed, but in the beginning you go out to the house, you take your picture with a happy client, boom. Well, I know you're teaching your guys the same thing.
Yep.
So they have to use that. And then, we don't have time to get into this, but it's in your system, I know, and that's the endorsed third-party letter for referrals. So let's go back to your the trusted advisor and how that positions you. Goes back to what Chris said. Testimonials speak a whole lot louder of what others are saying about you than you can say. And so your listeners just know that referrals and an aggressive system like you're teaching to go after referrals is something that they may not be used to, but it is something they need to put in their everyday thinking life.
Well, I totally agree. And the two quick points I want to make, you know, your wall of fame, I do teach that concept, and I thought, you know, if you've got, you know, you might be thinking, well, where am I going to put that at? You know, I've got all these displays and samples and things. Well, I can tell you this. You devote a 10 by 10 foot section of your retail space in your store on a wall to testimonials, and that'll do 100 times more selling than the equivalent space dedicated to yet more carpet samples.
And if they're making excuses, Jim, about not having space, go buy a 10x10 easel and put it on there.
There you go. Exactly.
Cork board.
That's it. That's all it takes. Exactly. And the other thought I had is, as we're talking here, I hope the listeners are hearing the emphasis that we're placing. It's not on running yet another newspaper ad or another yellow page or whatever. We're talking about spending your time, energy, money on things that are actually really going to produce for you, that are so powerful. They take a little bit of effort, but, you know, what's the alternative? Well, after the installation, the salesperson or whoever does the follow-up visit asks for referrals using the referral request form, and it's just one of the tools in my system for generating those referrals. It has a reward program built in, not only for the clients who are referring, but also for the person who gets referred as well. And just a very quick story. This is going back 10 plus years. The first time I tried to use a referral request form, it just so happened that the first client turned me down. And she was very nice. She turned out to actually be a very long-time client, wound up sending me a lot of referrals over the next few years. But she said she wasn't comfortable. And it took me 6 months to work up the courage to use it again, because I was afraid of putting clients off or whatever. And I just can't help but think of how many thousands of dollars I lost out on because I let one client dictate to me how I was going to do business. So I just wanted to say that as an encouragement, not to get discouraged if you get that client who doesn't want to do it. Who cares? Move on to the next one. Tracy, if you've provided good service to a client, have you earned the right to ask for referrals?
Absolutely. And in this day and age of no customer service, absolutely nowhere, one of the closing questions I would ask somebody that said, well, I don't feel comfortable with that, would be, you mean you want to leave your family and friends out there at the mercy of those that eat their young and the wolves? You know, simple little question.
Excellent point. I think you ought to rewind the CD, listen to that again, and write it down and add it. Make sure you and all your salesmen know it, so if you get the person that turns you down. Because in reality, not only we have the referral reward built in, but in reality, and it says this on the referral request sheet, you're doing your friends and loved ones a tremendous favor by referring them to a floor dealer they can trust. And you know, listeners, how many bait and switch sleazeballs that are out there, and do you want to leave your client's sphere of influence at their mercy? I don't think so. So be bold about this. You're helping them. Okay, let's move on to client or consumer education, and that's the third positioning tool. Tracy, how does this relate to getting your clients to see you as a trusted advisor?
Well, your system teaches excellent, what we would call in the industry and in our marketing, consumer education or widgets. The consumer, it goes back to the same thing. In your consumer education pieces, this is your opportunity not only to set yourself apart from everybody else, but absolutely, again, reinforce how it is you're going to do business and how they're going to do business with you. It goes back to the consumer education point of, to me, that was consumer education when the client looks at my board and says, man, you got a lot of people. Yep, you will too, and I'm going to expect one. That's consumer education. I am educating them on what we're talking about here. And so consumer education materials that you provide to your coaching members and clients will position them as the trusted advisor again, because nobody else is doing it around them. I can't think of any consumer guide, consumer education, or anything that tells me the difference between a 6-pound carpet and an 8-pound carpet.
Sure.
Or, exactly. I mean, you know, pad or whatever. I can't think of anything that tells me why I should get porcelain versus ceramic. And on and on and on again. So consumer education is part of the fun part of marketing, because nobody else is educating them. they're left to their own devices to educate themselves. And I personally believe, me included, most of us are educated beyond our intelligence anyhow. So, you know, it's my job to educate them.
There you go. And I think that, well, in my system, the consumer's guide to floor covering is the widget or the tool, you know, for educating the clients and positioning the dealer. And it really positions them as the expert in flooring, and the tack that it takes does a multitude of things that we don't have time to go into here, but among them, you know, why you need to work with an expert floor dealer. And part of that is because, you know, you talk about the different weights of carpet and the different kinds of pad. I mean, there are thousands of different products, and it takes a full-time expert to be a stay abreast of all of these things and to be able to educate the consumer about and help them make that right choice. So a lot of the thrust of the consumer's guide is picking a floor dealer that you can trust and relying on them heavily and helping you make the right selection.
Jim, a quick interjection here. The consumer guide that you have written, and I have read it, is excellent. It is above and beyond anything that your industry floor dealers have to choose from, and it does what we believe strongly in direct response emotional marketing. It problem agitate solves. Problem agitate solves. And your consumer education materials, the listeners just immediately apply them. Because what you wrote in there, I can guarantee no other floor dealer within 5,000 miles of you are using it.
Exactly.
But it's very well written, very well done, and what it is just that positioning tool that is written in a way that everybody can relate to.
I hear you, and I appreciate that. Thank you for the compliments. There are some consumer tools that are available, but it's things like, you know, how to pick a carpet, and it's real corporate, generic type stuff. And this is it's totally different. And I, you know, everyone on listening to this who's read it will automatically see the difference and how it's nothing like.
Oh, sure, yeah. Jim. In my business, the mortgage industry, I can send out the government's handbook of what is a mortgage. I don't want the government telling my client what is a mortgage.
Yeah.
I want to be the one telling my client what a mortgage is.
Exactly.
So be careful of those industry norm educational. We're not talking about that kind.
No, not at all. Not at all. Let's moving right along. The fourth positioning tool is a powerful guarantee, and my club members are taught to use the 100% ironclad triple guarantee. One of them is the installer professionalism guarantee, and I won't read it here, but it basically is just a good professional puts the consumer at ease that the installer that's in your home is gonna treat it as your castle. The next one is the lifetime installation warranty. If anything ever goes wrong with the installation, the dealer will fix it free as long as the client lives in the house. And the other is the no regrets guarantee. If the client doesn't like the flooring, the dealer will replace it free in the first 30 days. And this is so powerful and so over the top that it absolutely blows consumers away and totally creates an unlevel playing field when one of my clients is competing against another store. Chris, what are your thoughts on how really bold guarantees help in positioning the business owner?
Well, you definitely got to have a guarantee. And, you know, when I interviewed Court, you know, he has that I'll sell your home in 39 days or less or he'll sell it for free. Well, you know, it's eye-popping. It definitely catches the seller's eye when they're seeing that compared to somebody else. Nobody does it, so if you're doing it, you're totally different, which is what you're trying to do. You're positioning yourself as better. Well, You know, if you're a bait and twitch guy, you're not offering a guarantee. If you're standing there going, I am an expert, and by the way, I have the triple Lindy of the guarantees, it's, you know, pretty powerful. It puts the monkey on your back and not the customer's, so it removes all the risk, so it makes it easier for them to make the purchase.
Makes it easier to say yes to you.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
On a side note, Jim, some of your clients are probably burping and gagging over the 30-day, we'll replace it free. You know, mine's pretty simple in the mortgage business. I've taught this to Chris and other mortgage professionals. If my estimate of your closing cost isn't accurate within $200 of what I give you at the beginning, I'll pay all your closing costs and give you $1,000 to give to your favorite charity.
Holy smokes.
Eye-popping guarantees.
Yeah, exactly. And guys, this is, you know, what I've found, I've used powerful guarantees in all my businesses. I know you guys do. And my experience has been that it's like that 1% of the time you wind up having to actually pay that guarantee or fulfill it. And that 1% of the time you make up for it 10, 20, 30 times in being able to charge higher prices and be able to secure more deals because you offer it.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. There's lots of examples of these kinds of unusual, powerful guarantees. And you guys and me, we advocate using guarantees that are so unexpected that they literally stop consumers in their tracks and end the shopping process. The fifth positioning tool is using advisory rather than a selling sales process. How do you use this day-to-day in your business, Chris, and why is it so important?
Okay, well, you know, again, my whole debt elimination program was created out of air to specialize to make me be different. And I've heard Dan say it over and over and over again, if you're a commodity, get out of the commodity business. Well, I finally put two and two together to make five in December, and I've known about debt elimination. It's been around forever. Never thought I'd specialize in it, and then now I'm kicking myself because I've known about it since 99, and I'm thinking about, you said before, all the thousands of dollars that you left on the table. Kicking myself, but it literally, I created it from scratch based on this whole formula that I had. The process is designed, and it's taken me a while to get it worked out, but the process is designed to do all the manual labor lifting for me, so it's pretty easy. There's zero resistance to it. So the way it works is they learn about me through my marketing, which is, you know, through a tear sheet, which we got to do a whole nother call on that because there's not enough time here. They contact me. We do a phone consultation where I get their problems and their concerns and their needs, and I find out why they got into debt, got in over their heads, got wherever they're at. So this is all almost like a doctor-client relationship. You know, I'm asking why, because they have a problem, I'm going to solve it, you know. So then I have them fill out what I call the resource allocation worksheet. I need to know where all their money comes from, net income-wise, where's all their money going. Then I take that in their physical consultation that we do. We go over all their numbers step by step, and this is all leading them down the same path. Now I'm giving them advisory stuff on, well, why do you spend that much on that? Why do you do this there? Well, wouldn't you be better if you did that? Well, what if we cut that in half? What if we did? So it's interactive. They're working with me, and I'm advising them on it because I'm an unbiased third party. So then we get down to, okay, here's your actual spending numbers. This is where we can be. Go to the next screen in my software I had designed. Here's their debt. Boom, here's your number. This is how many years until you're totally debt-free, paying the same payment you're paying right now. And they're like, eyes pop out of their head. They're like, oh, my God, I had no idea. That's including the mortgage. You know, it's like,
sure.
Dan always says, make it about something other than the mortgage. You know,
sure.
Make the sale about something else. So it's now about debt-free. It's not about the mortgage. So they go through all that. Then I go through the whole paperwork on here's where you're at. This is the numbers. Here's your options. Here's the price. Here's the monthly. They go through, literally, it's just step by step by step by step. They sign all that. Then we do the mortgage paperwork. So I'm getting paid to do the debt elimination stuff. Then I'm getting paid to do the mortgage. But by the time I get to the mortgage paperwork, they don't even ask. I mean, I'm being nice to my clients. I'm not overcharging. I'm just making what I'm worth. But they don't even ask what the closing costs were. You know, I had a $10,000 fee the other day. Never even asked. It was well worth what they paid. It was a big loan amount, but you know, I was looking at it going, oh my God, how am I going to put that on there? It's $10,000. And then I was like, well, let's just see if this works. Never even asked.
Well, you know, Chris, you said so many powerful things. I'm not even going to be able to illuminate on each one of them, but I think a couple of things that stand out is, one, you make it feel like going to see a doctor. You know, it's a consultation. And the second thing is, you, and I think that the my coaching members can really need to grab onto this, is you take them through a step-by-step-by-step process. You control it. They're not driving it. They're not telling you what they want and this and that. You're taking them down this specific path. And what I teach my coaching members is to stop doing estimates and instead do the design audit. And the design audit is the form they all have. It's a diagnostic tool that allows the client to, it walks them through a series of step-by-step questions that enables the salesperson, like you did in yours, to make professional recommendations, suggest upsells, structure a maintenance plan, and most importantly, it doesn't feel like a sales process, and it's just logical sequence of questions that then you turn around based on what they told you. You are able to then give them the recommendations that they need. So it does. It feels more like a consultation with a family doctor or a CPA. We're getting low on time here, but before we do, I want to go to the last positioning tool, and that's having a trusted advisor mindset. And Tracy, why is this so important for not only for floor dealers, but any business owner who wants to separate themselves from the competition to have the trusted advisor mindset?
My trusted advisor mindset is if anybody chooses to do business besides with me, they're making the biggest mistake of their life. So I own that internally. Now I am on a mission to make sure that nobody gets taken advantage of, and I suspend my interest in the transaction to their interest in the transaction, and that automatically transfers from me into them as the trusted advisor mindset. If anybody does business with somebody else besides you, there's only one reason that should be, and that's because you refuse to do business with them. And that's a mindset that I take on, like I said, Jim, as a mission. A mission of my advice and my service to them is second to nobody's. And if they go anywhere else, I have to be the big boy and say it's my fault, unless it's because I chose not to work with them. Then I work in my mind and in my physical actions and my marketing to do everything in my power to transfer into them. They have no other choice but to do business with me, because I am the one they can trust the most.
That makes so much sense. And this is going back 10 years. You sparked something that I remember. Is I was listening to, I don't even remember who the speaker was, but he said, I am so confident in my level of service that if I can't convince somebody to do business with me, I've done them a disservice.
Yeah.
So you truly.
That's old sales training 101 from, yeah, the old days, I would call it, you know, the 80s.
Yeah, I may have heard it multiple times, but take it to heart. You know, that's true. And it has helped me when I'm filling the shoes of the trusted advisor, you know, being able to do that with boldness and with confidence. Okay, just real quick, Chris, any final thoughts before we wrap it up?
Well, you know, just you got to have the mindset that you are the expert. You have to anoint yourself as the expert, because nobody else is going to do it for you. and then you got to tell everybody you're an expert because nobody's going to question it. And you are an expert if you've been doing what you've been doing for at least 6 months and you know a lot of stuff about it, you're an expert. So you got to position yourself, be different than others, live the lifestyle that you want, make people conform to you, specialize in a niche if you can. I don't know if there's certain niches in the flooring industry. I'm assuming you could be the hardwood floor niche or the tile niche or something so you can separate yourself there. And then you got to have a system for selling and let it work for you.
Good points, Chris. Tracy, any final thoughts from you?
Yeah, they got that system right there in yours. So live it, learn it, or what is it? Learn it, live it, and love it.
There we go.
to paraphrase Rush, that's it. Just learn it and live it and love it. Back to that trusted advisor mindset. There's no way in the world that somebody's going to feel you're the trusted advisor if you don't feel you are.
Wow. Good.
So
good.
That's an internal thing that we don't have time for, but it is one that you, in the floor covering business, you just need to own it. And do whatever it takes, follow Jim's advice, apply the strategies, and listen to the man and apply the stuff.
Okay, thanks. That totally makes sense, Tracy. Everyone listening, you've got 6 specific strategies that you can immediately implement to command higher prices and do business on your terms. I just want to remind you about not getting overwhelmed. These are ideas that are maybe totally new, even a little uncomfortable, and that's okay. Just keep in mind that if you want radically better results in your business and your life, you have to do things differently than you've been doing up until now. And doing things differently is sometimes uncomfortable, but it's always worth it. Remember the 3-step implementation system. Pick 1 or 2 of the strategies discussed. Write a deadline for implementation, then get it up 100% up and running before moving on to another strategy. And by taking it a bite at a time like that, you can totally transform your business in 12 months. Thanks for everyone who listened. Chris and Tracy, thanks for so much for being on the call and for being so generous with your time and your insights.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye.